You're listening to the Spurscast, episode 513. My name is Paul Garcia, and I am the host of the Spurscast. Joining me for today's episode is Project Spurs' own Steven Anderson. Steven, how you doing, man?
Doing well, Paul, especially after that Spurs game last night. How are you?
I'm doing well myself. You know, let's go ahead and, basically, those are our two topics, Spurscast listeners. Actually, before we get started, I want to make sure that you all follow Steven over on Twitter and social media. His handle is at @TheStevenA_. So let's go ahead and get into this conversation, Steven, mainly about two topics, which is number one is obviously we're going to really analyze this Spurs Timberwolves game just because that's the only game that's been played. So we can kind of go a little pretty deep into that game and what we thought about the offense and the defense and the players and everything. And then the second topic will kind of just be still discussing the Derek White injury just because that was a topic Mike DeLeon and myself, we did not get into last week when we had recorded the last episode. That news came out the day right after that he would miss 2 to 4 weeks. So those will be our two topics. Then we'll do a little mini preview of their upcoming games for the Spurs. So Steven, you were correct, sir. The Spurs started their new season with a 112-108 victory over the Minnesota Timberwolves. You wrote your excellent piece, the three standout players, over on ProjectSpurs.com, Spurscast listeners, if you want to listen to that. Steven highlighted LaMarcus Aldridge, DeMar DeRozan, and Rudy Gay as three of those impactful players for the Spurs. Just some quick highlights. DeRozan finishes with 28 points, 4 assists. LaMarcus, 21 points and 19 rebounds. And then Rudy Gay, 18 points and 7 rebounds. I've been calling them the mid-three on Twitter just because they're all mid-range shooters mainly, even though they are basically the Spurs' version of the big three now. Just real quick, before we get super into breaking down this game, Steven, what did you think, just your initial impressions?
Well, I mean, first of all, DeMar DeRozan's debut, I mean, what a debut, 28 points in your first game as a Spur. That's impressive, number one. But I kind of, in a weird way, I kind of like Jakob Poeltl as the starter, because, you don't think of him as a player who would get a lot of minutes, but he didn't actually. He just played 7 minutes, but in those 7 minutes, he was very effective. 4 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and I mean, the guy showed he can play. So that's one person I really wanted to highlight, but he didn't unfortunately get a lot of minutes last night. But Rudy Gay looks good in his nice Puma shoes. I enjoyed those. But I mean, he looks good overall. He looks healthy. He looks ready to go. And LaMarcus, what is there to say about LaMarcus other than we know what he can do? And even popped it after the game. He was a horse, but he didn't shoot the ball very well. And I think that has to do with, what, 8 new players on the team. So once that comes in, I think the guys will, they'll get some stuff together and they'll be better. But overall, I was impressed with their offense, not so much with their defense.
Yeah, so let's go to get into this conversation now. Let's really break this game down. We're going to talk first about the offense, and then we'll go over to the defensive side of the ball. So, I'm doing my little film analysis here. I wanted to see a lot of the new plays that they're using, or old plays, too, that they've implemented with all the new players. Anyway, so I watched a half of the game so far as far as a rewatch and really going, real analytical with it. So some notes that I took away, offensively, some of their strengths, offensive rebounding, they're continuing to play big most of the time with either, like you mentioned, Jakob Poeltl and LaMarcus, or LaMarcus and Pau Gasol. They did do some small ball, though, with Rudy Gay at the four here and there, and even some Dante Cunningham at times. So their offensive rebounding was really good. They ended up pulling down, 19 offensive rebounds. Had a really good offensive rebounding percentage. One thing that this team was missing since Kawhi was out all of last year was somebody who could get to the free throw line, and that is where you really see the progress and the impact of DeMar DeRozan, where he went to the free throw line 11 times, and then Aldridge complimented him with 10 free throw attempts as well. And then one thing you noted in your piece, your three standout players, was the three-point percentage. You know, they still took a low volume, and for today's NBA, 25 attempts is still very low in number of attempts. However, they made 44% of those outside looks, which is something that they did not do last year. They didn't shoot a north of 40% last year, and that's something that if you're going to be a low volume 3-point shooting team, you have to be a really efficient team from the 3-point line. And they were that with guys like Bellinelli, Bryn Forbes, Rudy Gay made a three. I see here Patty Mills, and also Davis Bertans hit 3 of 4. So just discussing their strengths. Would you agree with those three areas? Was there anything else different that you saw?
Yeah, I mean, like I said in the piece, defensively, I'm sorry, not defensively, offensively, they played a lot better than what we saw last year. I mean, I even noted in the piece, I believe, or on Twitter, that Pop even called the Spurs last season one of the worst shooting teams he's ever had. So going off of that, you can't get much worse than that in Pop's eyes. So, I mean, they did better on that end of the ball offensively. I mean, and I got to hand it to Bryn Forbes. You know, you find out you're going to be the starter after not only DeJounte Murray goes down, but then Derek White goes down. And to me, he was impressive. No, he didn't. Maybe he didn't have the speed of DeJounte or the length of DeJounte, but I mean, he can shoot the ball. I just worry, or my concern is he going to be worried or scared to shoot? And that's going to be my worry as we go into the season. But for right now, going off of one game, I like Bryn Forbes. I like Marco. We know what Marco can do. You know, Davis Bertans showed he has confidence coming after signing a new deal to come back to San Antonio. I mean, I like the offense. I'm not concerned about the offense at all, but there were times when the Spurs had an 11-point lead two separate times only to lose it, but we can talk about the defense in a second. But, I mean, I like their offense. It doesn't worry me at all.
Yeah, and, you know, just now let's go to talk about some individual players offensively, and you've already noted a few of them here. You know, I wrote down just by their usage percentage, the reason why I call them the big three is or the mid three is DeRozan had a 29% usage percentage. He was their go-to player. Second was LaMarcus Aldridge, 27.4, and then Rudy Gay, 22.3. And then a guy you notated there was Bryn Forbes, the 17.8 usage, and then Bellinelli off the bench with 17.3 usage. So all those five players, you know, I did mention their usage, but, you know, being the highest on the team, and that ended up translating into points here with double figures scoring. All of them scored over 10 points, those five players. And, you know, that, like you mentioned, that was good to see from Forbes, that he wasn't shy about it. You know, early on, I think it was LaMarcus set a screen for him and he took a three and he missed it, but that's okay. He at least shot the shot. He took the shot, should I say. In transition, he took one of his mid-range jumpers that he's more comfortable with rather than attacking the rim. And then, you know, he ended up, like you said, with 10 shots for 11 points, not the most efficient game, but at least you saw that he was aggressive. You mentioned Bellinelli there. Davis Bertans definitely stepped up in the fourth. Pop mentioned how he put a lot of trust in him. Some of the issues I saw on offense, though, just some minor ones were the turnovers, and it was mainly in that second quarter. They had seven turnovers. Again, that's a lot of it could be that it's a brand new team, new chemistry, a lot of guys playing max minutes that they didn't usually play. One impact of losing DeJounte Murray you see on the offensive end is a really slow pace. They only 9.6% of their plays came in transition, which is really like, almost like bottom of the league. And then also their free throws. Now, it's obviously just one game, but they did leave 8 points at the free throw line. Would you agree with that there was some issues there on the offense, or what did you see as some of their weaknesses?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the turnovers. And you talk about chemistry, Paul. On the offensive end, even though DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge were the top two leaders in scoring for the Spurs, you did notice a little bit offensively that when you know, DeMar, whenever I did a pass through the legs of there, and LaMarcus caught it and he made the shot, but you could tell he wasn't expecting the pass. And then vice versa, where LaMarcus would throw the ball to DeMar, and you could tell DeMar wasn't expecting it. Now, obviously, these two have never played together before, so that's going to take some time for them to kind of get things going on that end, chemistry-wise. Talking about the speed, yeah, you're right. That's another thing that will worry me, depending on who the Spurs will face. Because the Spurs, obviously, they have the Lakers coming up, they have Portland coming up, and they have Indiana. So teams that will probably be faster in pace than they were last night. But and so that's one other thing I would highlight. And one minor thing would be Pau Gasol. And I love Pau Gasol. He came off the bench last night. He was very effective in his time on the bench. One thing I will say, though, it seems to me the offense slowed down when he was on the floor a little bit at times, but it did pick up defensively. So I see why Pop made the switch when he did.
Yeah, and that was something to watch, too. Like you're right. Like, you look at the numbers, and Powell's pretty effective, 5.7 rebounds and 6 assists in 22 minutes. But, you know, he was a minus 2 when on the floor. So that, again, tells you that he was part of the issues in terms of them, the scoring not being as efficient, and also on the defensive end, there were some lapses, which led to him only playing 22 minutes, as you can see, based on the box score. The last thing I would notate about the offense before we go on to the defense is just Man, you just watched DeMar is something. He's just a player that the Spurs haven't had with his offensive skill set. Not only is just as a scorer, you know, he can basically use those pick and rolls and like that snake dribble to get his defender on his back and basically get any shot he wants most of the time. But also just the fact that his passing ability is just really incredible. You know, it, just the ball movement. Even though he only got four assists on the box score, he did end up with a bunch of secondary assists. You know, he was one of those guys who whether it was through pick and roll, whether it was throughout the post, he just knows how to find players with these unique passes. And you mentioned LaMarcus, you know, missing, you know, LaMarcus did have a tough shooting night, 7-23 from the floor, but he just wasn't expected to be that wide open. He even said after the game, like he was like almost like in shock that he was that wide open on there was like nobody within like 6 feet of him. So I think that if he gets used to these open shots, he's going to start converting them. And again, it was the first game of the season. Let's go ahead and just one last note on the offense. So let's just say that the season ended last night. So out of the 26 teams that played in the first 2 days, their offense would have been ranked fourth according to cleaningtheglass.com. So they had the fourth most efficient offense as of their first game of the season. So that's just, again, very small sample size, but that's just lets you know how good their offense was, though. Now let's go to go to the defense. And this is an issue, obviously, that you mentioned in your piece. You know, you just look at the score. Pop's goal is always to keep that opponent under 100 points, 100 points or less. And they Minnesota put 108 points on them in that first game when Towns only played in he basically only played 22 minutes because of foul trouble. So let's go through some notes here that I wrote down that we can go ahead and get into some discussion. Something you noted in your piece, the point guard defense, Jeff Teague scored an efficient 27 points and 4 assists on just 12 shots. He went to the free throw line 9 times. He mainly attacked Patty Mills and Bryn Forbes. And what should worry the Spurs is that he didn't even have to ask for help. Like, he didn't ask for a pick and roll or anything like that, or like running off screens and stuff. He literally just went one-on-one on those guys, and he would just either try to take them to the hole, or I remember on a possession of the first quarter, he posted up Patty Mills. It was really in the third quarter where he became most aggressive with 11 points in that quarter. At the end of the night, Bryn Forbes ended up with 5 fouls in 30 minutes, and Patty Mills ended up with 2 fouls in 30 minutes. So what do you think about that point guard defense? Because, you know, there's not a lot of options since these are the two guys until Derek White gets back.
Right, and that is one thing that concerns me. And whenever Bryn Forbes was Jeff McDonald that broke the story that Bryn Forbes will be the starter. I could be wrong, but I believe it was him. And whenever he did, the first thing that concerned me was the defense of Bryn Forbes, because he's not really known for his defense. And that's one thing I would say that would be concerning to me, is that defensively that would be one part of it. Because you're right, it made Jeff T look like Steph Curry or Russell Westbrook. And that's concerning. But overall, I would, if it was me, though, you're right, Paul. This is what the Spurs are going to go with, and this is what they're going to have to go with, because there is no Derek White right now, and DeJounte Murray's out for the season. So I would say that concerning of the point guard defense is concerning, because Bryn Forbes is kind of young, and he's kind of new to being the starter. But, I mean, other guys are going to have to help out. If you noticed, in that first quarter, the Spurs packed the paint with Aldridge, Pirtle, and Rudy Gay, and it was very hard for Teague to penetrate the paint during that first quarter. So I think that for the point guard defense, it's just going to have the guys having to help each other out.
Yeah, you hit that's the key word there. It's the help scheme. You know, San Antonio, their bigs, their wings, they need to be ready. DeMar, Rudy, like you mentioned, LaMarcus, Pirtle, you know, Bellinelli, whoever's out there. Whenever that guard initially gets past Patty or Bryn, they need to be ready to help. And you know, and then obviously players need to rotate on the other assignments that are left wide open to have, like, you know, just the most impactful defense. I will give Bryn credit to something that Pop said, is that he really works hard. Like, he's actually trying out there on defense. It's not like he's just like, you know, not trying. He's really working hard. He did contest a lot of Teague shots, but they went in near the rim. And again, that might just be part of just, you know, just his physical makeup is not there, even though he did put on more muscle. So he, you know, basically, if you look at the minutes, Patty Mills 30 minutes, Bryn Forbes 30 minutes, they're going to have to play a lot of minutes regardless if the point guard's, you know, just going off for 27 points like Teague did. And that is a worry, like you mentioned, that this is Jeff Teague. This isn't Steph Curry yet, or Russell Westbrook, or even Damian Lillard, who they're going to see Saturday night, which we're going to talk about pretty soon here. So that's obviously something to watch, is the point guard defense. I looked also at two individual quarters. So in the first quarter, they played pretty good defense. They held the Wolves to 23 points. And then also in the fourth quarter, they held them to 25. It was mainly that second and third quarter. Now, in the second quarter, the Wolves put up 29 points. But we can attribute that to the turnovers on the Spurs' end. The Spurs had their most turnovers in a quarter with seven in that second quarter. So we could say, okay, yeah, y'all lost the ball. So you kind of brought that upon yourself, that type of bad quarter. The third quarter is a little bit more concerning. In that quarter, they gave up 31 points. And again, they only had one turnover, so you can't blame the turnovers. Minnesota scored 25 of those 31 points from both the paint and free throw line. So, and that, again, that's the quarter I mentioned with Jeff Teague. That's again something to be concerned about. And something that you mentioned again was that LaMarcus and Jakob and Powell need to be the guys to be ready. The defensive rebounding was also sort of an issue. Minnesota grabbed 34% of their offensive rebounds, which is a pretty good number for them. And then also I notated that the Spurs did probably foul too much. They put the Wolves at the line 27 times. And then their transition defense had some issues, 16 fast break points for Minnesota. Did you see any other issues with the defense or do you want to expound on what I just mentioned there?
Yeah, I'll definitely expand on one part, which was the fouls. I don't remember if it was the fourth quarter or the third quarter, but the Spurs committed five fouls in the first 4 minutes.
Minnesota, that might have been the third bonus quarter, because that's when Minnesota went to the line the most.
Yeah, and Minnesota was in the bonus for eight minutes in the quarter. So there's that. But the other thing I want to expand on is the paint defense. You know, like I said, when I said a second ago, Jakob, Ulrich, and Gay clogged the paint in that first quarter. And it was very difficult for guys like Jimmy Butler or Andrew Wiggins or Teague to get in the paint to score. That's why I think the Spurs built that 11-point lead the way they did. But as you said, in that third quarter, in the second and third quarter, that's where they kind of went away from that, and the paint was open. I mean, literally, you had a field day. I was having fits just watching them just leave the paint open. And in critical moments, too, Paul, you know, right before halftime would be an example. A minute before the third quarter ended, the paint would be open. I mean, obviously, it's only the first game, so we can't go off of anything else. But I mean, from that first game, that would be the most concerning thing to me is the rebounding and is the paint defense. Because, like I said, you're going to face a team on Saturday in Portland who plays the Lakers tonight. And I mean, going off of last season from Portland, they're very aggressive going to the paint. We all know what Damian Lillard can do. I mean, we know what guys like CJ McCollum can do. So they're going to be aggressive, and the Spurs are going to have to be ready, especially those guys in the paint. And then free throw line percentage, or free throw line wise, the Spurs are going to be more disciplined defensively. Losing a guy like Kawhi Leonard, two-time Defensive Player of the Year, losing a guy like Danny Green, and also losing to DeJounte Murray, is not going to help your defense. So it's just going to be a matter of guys have to buckle down, help each other out, and kind of work through it, I guess.
Yeah, and one, you know, we're obviously, you and I are nitpicking the bad things that the Spurs did on defense, but let's also compliment some of the good things that they did. You know, they really held held Andrew Wiggins pretty well. He did have 20 points, but on 18 shots, so he wasn't efficient at all. Jimmy Butler had to take 23 shots for his 23 points, and the Spurs kind of avoided putting those two guys at the line very much. And then also, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns, where he only had he only finished the game with, I think it was 8 points, and again he fouled out of the game, and he was really almost like a non-factor. And the Spurs' defense on the wings, you know, DeMar, Rudy Gay, Marco Bellinelli, all these guys need to get some credit for that and holding those players, and also the big guys like LaMarcus and Jakob Poeltl for making Towns' night tough. Now, let's also keep in mind that the Wolves are also like having their own issues, so who knows how much of that was also just like their off chemistry right now at the time.
Right,
but again, we do have to give some
time. Sorry, Paul, one more thing. Let me just touch on LaMarcus real quick. I mean, he gets a lot of crap from fans, you know, for – you know, his shooting last night, and he didn't shoot. It's true, he didn't shoot the ball very well, and he admitted that himself. But defensively, to hold a guy like Karl-Anthony Towns to 8 points and 9 rebounds and foul him out of the game, I mean, that's impressive. And to do it the way he did it, I mean, LaMarcus was not afraid. He banged bodies down low with Towns, and he got him out of the game. And that's something to be said for LaMarcus. I mean, defensively, he's known for his offense. But he had a block last night. He did well defensively. That's one thing to notice, and I think he's going to be key for the Spurs defensively as well.
For sure. And, you know, just adding a little bit more to what you just said there is it's not just that he fouled out Towns. I mean, literally, like, they threw double and triple teams at him throughout the night because, like, no one could hold him in the post whenever he got in his comfortable position. So real quick, one last note on the defense. Let's just say that the season did end yesterday. Out of those 26 teams that played, their defense would have ranked 19th. So, again, that's obviously the issue to watch. I had last week on the podcast, I had told Mike, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they finished between like 10th and 12th, just because I do see what the injury to DeJounte, that's going to be a huge factor for their defense, even when Derek White does come back. But we'll see again how they fare when a whole season gets put together here and we get more games to watch. Let's just say that the Spurs and Wolves did make all their free throws, both teams. Then the final score would have been San Antonio by 9, 120-111. So again, those free throws, you do look, if you were to put them in there, let's just say it was a perfect shooting night, then it shows that the Spurs were a better team by at least plus 9 in that game. Okay, Steven, let's move on to our second topic. And really, this is an old topic now after the news came out, but I did want to address it on the Spurs cast because we haven't really got to dig into this. And it's the latest injury to another point guard, which is Derek White. You know, after I recorded the podcast with Mike last week, the Spurs announced the next day that Derek White would miss, you know, potentially 2 to 4 weeks, and then he'll be back. So my question to you, because I didn't get to really talk about this, and Mike was, you know, should they go and look for a veteran point guard, somebody like Jameer Nelson, Jarrett Jack, Raymond Sessions, or Ty Lawson, or should they just try to hold down the fort with Patty and Bryn, and, you know, keep playing them 60 minutes combined, basically, until Derek gets healthy?
I think they should just hold on the fort, and I say that because, you know, one thing with Bryn Forbes is he's a good shooter. Derek White improved a heck of a lot from a year ago, so that's one thing I would definitely say for him. Derek White has improved. one thing I would say, if the Spurs do go after to try to get a veteran point guard, they're going to have to waive somebody. And Quincy Pondexter would be that guy, but he's one of your better defenders on the team. And we talked about the Spurs defense already, so let's not touch on that again. But, I mean, with Quincy being one of the better defenders on the team, I would say the Spurs just hold down the fort, because Derek White has proven himself, I think, over the summer and in summer league. So to me, he's ready to go. It's just a matter of him getting healthy.
I agree with you 100%. I think they should just try to hold down the fort. And the reason why, it's not even the offensive part, it's more the defense. It's like, okay, if Derek White if Brennan and Patty are having their issues on defense, I kind of trust them two more than one of these older veteran guys like Jarrett Jack, Nelson, Sessions, Lawson. And plus, if they didn't want to waive Pondexter, then they could use that other two-way spot. But again, you know, who out there in the two-way player availability is going to be an elite defender who's really going to help them on that side of the floor, who also has the shooting ability of Brennan Patty. And I just don't see that player out there. So again, I'm with you. I think they should really look at just staying patient. And unless things go, you know, horrifically wrong with Brennan and Patty together, then I think that, you know, you just have to kind of live with that defense kind of getting carved up at the point guard spot and just trying to do your best to help mask it with those help schemes. Now, Steven, the last topic, not really topic, it's just, let's go ahead and go through what's in store for the Spurs now. Their next game is going to be Saturday at Portland. As you mentioned, that we've kind of mentioned their names. They're going to go against CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard. Again, Dame with this point guard spot where they're not having a lot of success right now on defense with Patty and Bryn. And then on Monday, like you mentioned, they're going to play LeBron James and the Lakers in L.A. Usually last year, you and I would do basically a prediction to see if they would win. But just because those two teams haven't played, they're going to play tonight on Thursday when you and I are speaking. You know, I don't want to really give any predictions because we haven't had any real data with them. And so we'll see how that turns out. Did you have any comments about those two teams as the Spurs get ready to see them?
Just that it's still weird to me to hear LeBron James and the Lakers.
Yeah, it's going to be weird on Monday watching them. So that'll be I'm really excited to see, you know, how that Lakers team has their season. You know, if Portland continues to basically pretty good in the regular season, and, you know, not the version of Portland that we saw in the playoffs against the Pelicans. So we'll see how those two games go. Again, everything's basically brand new. It's a brand new season. It's only one game in. So I know Steven and I, Spurscast listeners, kind of went really deep down into this game and really broke it down. But again, that's the only thing that we have to talk about right now. But we'll have more topic of conversation as the season actually starts getting into full gear. Before we take off, I just want to make sure to let you all know to go out to projectspurs.com. You know, the season has started, so we're starting to put forth a lot more articles and content up there. So, like, Steven has his three standout players that he wrote about. Colin Reed, our writer, wrote about the Southwest Division. He previewed it. He gave a prediction for where he thinks all five teams in the Southwest Division are going to finish by record. And then also Nathan Kudla, one of our new writers, he wrote a piece called What We Learned in the Spurs Season Opener. And that's pretty good also, where you get to see some video clips with LaMarcus and DeRozan, and then some of the issues that Steven and I discussed on defense. Lastly, please follow Steven on Twitter at @TheStevenA_. Follow us at Project Spurs, at @ATLeague_NBA, at The Spurs Cast, and at Project Spurs Network. Online, visit us at ProjectSpurs.com, AnalyzingTheLeague.com, and ProjectSpurs.net. And lastly, if you're on iTunes, please leave us a rating and review. Thank you. Have a great day.